SBS हिंदी।
मित्रों, आज बात करते हैं एक बहुत ही अलग विषय पर। ये तो हम सब जानते हैं कि इन दिनों ऑस्ट्रेलिया में आने वाले प्रवासियों का सबसे बड़ा या सबसे दूसरा बड़ा स्रोत भारत है। लेकिन इससे पहले व्हाइट ऑस्ट्रेलिया पॉलिसी 1901 में शुरू हुई थी, उससे बहुत पहले भी ऑस्ट्रेलियाई कुछ लोगों का और कुछ भारतीय लोगों का यहाँ आना जाना रहा था। बल्कि वर्ष 1816 से ही कॉलोनियल ज़माने के दौरान कई भारतीय यहाँ आए और कुछ ऑस्ट्रेलियाई भी भारत गए थे। तो ऐसी ही एक अनोखी कहानी है बंगाल के महाअकाल की, द ग्रेट फैमिन ऑफ बंगाल, जो कि 1943 में हुआ था, जबकि करोड़ों लोग मारे गए थे। आपको जानकर ताज्जुब होगा कि उस वक्त बंगाल के जो गवर्नर थे वो मूलतः से ऑस्ट्रेलियाई थे और उन्होंने भारत के लोगों की मदद के लिए बहुत कुछ करने की कोशिश की थी। तो इस सिलसिले में आज हम चर्चा कर रहे हैं कामा मक्लीन के साथ, जो कि एसोसिएट प्रोफेसर साउथ एशियन एंड वर्ल्ड हिस्ट्री यूनिवर्सिटी ऑफ न्यू साउथ वेल्स में हैं और एडिटर ऑफ साउथ एशिया जर्नल ऑफ साउथ एशियन स्टडीज़ भी हैं। और भारत के बारे में उन्होंने बहुत रिसर्च की है, बहुत जानकारी भी है उनको भारत के बारे में। नमस्ते कामा जी।
नमस्ते जी, आप कैसी
हैं? अरे मैं बिल्कुल ठीक हूँ। आपकी आवाज़ सुनकर और आपकी हिंदी सुनकर बहुत खुशी हुई और इस बात की भी बहुत खुशी है कि आपने भारत ऑस्ट्रेलिया के संबंधों पर बहुत रिसर्च की है।
अच्छा, असल में मैंने एक किताब लिखी है, उसका प्रकाशित हो जाएगा अगले साल।
जी, उसके बारे में ज़रूर हम बातचीत करेंगे और उसका हमें इंतज़ार रहेगा।
अच्छा,
तो आज बताइए हमें बंगाल के बारे में। बंगाल में जैसा हम सब जानते हैं भीषण काल आया था, द ग्रेट फैमिन ऑफ बंगाल 1943 में। तो उस वक्त बताया जाता है कि जो बंगाल के गवर्नर थे वो थे गवर्नर रिचर्ड केसी, जो ऑस्ट्रेलिया के थे।
जी, वो ऑस्ट्रेलियन है। असल में मुझे अफसोस की बात है कि मेरी हिंदी इन दिनों बहुत खराब है।
नहीं, नहीं, बहुत अच्छी। मैं बता दूंगी,
या ठीक है ना? I actually can't speak about this sort of academic matters in Hindi, so I will switch to English, and I hope your listeners will forgive me for that. But it's a fascinating period of history. There were no really big appointments from Australia in British India. And that was because, there were a number of factors that prevented Australians taking up big careers in India. There were many businessmen in India, but working for the government of India was actually relatively rare. There was a political block, really, of the White Australia policy. Was very well known in India, and indeed when Richard Casey was appointed in 1940, he's appointed in 43, at the end of 43, in December. And when his appointment's announced, there's mass protests in India. Many of the newspapers, the nationalist newspapers, complain that, the nationalist movement is at such a stage where they're looking for greater autonomy, and here is an Australian being appointed. So the big insult is that Richard Casey can come to India, but no Indian can just land in Australia and live there, let alone work there in a very highly paid and highly prestigious role.
So, Kama, there was some resentment, obviously, from India's side on the appointment of Governor Casey, because in Australia then had the White Australia policy as well.
It did. And it was well known in India that the White Australia policy prevented Indians from coming to live in Australia after 1901. And so there was resentment that an Australian could go to India and take up a very high-profile role, but an Indian couldn't enter Australia, let alone work in, for the Australian government. So, yeah, a lot of resentment around that.
Sure. But I believe that Richard Casey had a remarkable military career before he came to India.
Oh, yes. He has actually a very interesting international career. He served at Gallipoli and in France in the First World War. Subsequently, he went to work in London and he worked for the Australian High Commission. He worked in the Australian Treasury. He was appointed in Washington to head up the first Australian legation there. He was then a member of the War Cabinet in the Second World War, and where he was in charge of supply in the Middle East. And it's from that role that he's appointed to Bengal at the end of 43.
So let's talk about the famine of Bengal, which took place in 1943. Millions of people, I believe, died in that famine.
Look, the numbers are very hard to place, but it's usually talked about in the area of a million. But again, very, very difficult to give an accurate number.
Sure. Now, how did Richard Casey react to that, and what steps did he take to ameliorate the effects of that famine?
Well, the famine started before he arrived, so he was not in a position to prevent it. And there were a number of larger structural forces that created the famine. It was a man-made famine. And decisions made by the War Cabinet in London were really devastating for rural Bengalis in particular. Casey arrives in Calcutta in 1944. Now, of course, technically by then the famine is over, but
sure.
I mean, that's really not the case. Many people are still heavily emaciated and do continue to die, actually, from a number of epidemic diseases that are spreading at the time, malaria, smallpox, for example. But also food continues to be very scarce, and in particular, prices are heavily inflated, so the poor can't afford food, even in 1944. What Casey does is he tries to do a number of things. Just as he arrives, rationing is actually set up. Well, the rationing is really directed towards those working in critical industries. So it means most urban Calcuttites in particular are guaranteed a level of food, but those in rural areas who are working in vital industries for the war don't. So he has to deal with some of these programs. He does try to establish orphanages and food supplies. He tries to have grain reconditioned. Grain is actually put in storehouses. It's taken off the market in 43 so that the Japanese can't get it if they invade. So it's an attempt to try and prevent a Japanese advance into Bengal because they've taken Burma by this stage. And that grain is actually just, some of it's sent overseas, but some of it's actually kept in government storehouses where it rots. So this is the tragedy of the famine. The food was there. It was just not within the reach of...
Absolutely.
So he tries to release those grain houses and have the grain reconditioned and redistributed. That actually doesn't go that well. The policy fails. The grain really is beyond, it's not really fit for human consumption, actually. But he does a number of other things. One of the things that brought on the famine was the requisitioning of boats, and Bengal, of course, is the Bengali diets heavily related to
rice,
fish, and being able to fish. And so one of the things he did was to create a boat building program so that people could get food through fish again, which they had not been able to do extensively in 1943.
That's a lot of work. But was he otherwise a staunch supporter of the British imperialistic policies?
Look, I mean, ultimately he was an imperialist. He was there working for the government of India, but he did disagree a lot with a lot of the things that the British were doing in India, and he used to write letters to the Viceroy, who he knew from the Viceroy was Lord Wavell. He was a military man, exactly, and so he knew him from military connections, and he wrote to him regularly, complaining about the way in which the British were managing India. And he used to say things like, that, from what I've seen, there has been no advance the British have made in India after some 200 years of empire. So he's actually very critical of what the British...
What the relationship between the Indians and the British Empire was. And I believe, of course, there was a breakdown in relations between Mahatma Gandhi and Viceroy Lord Wavell. And Richard Casey did meet Mahatma Gandhi on a couple of occasions. What did they talk about?
It's interesting. So the Gandhi Casey talks begin in 1945 at a time when relationships between the Congress in general and the British government of India, especially Wavell, had broken down quite badly, and they were no longer negotiating after the failure of the Shimla talks.
Right.
So Gandhi actually approaches Casey thinking, here's an Australian, I will talk to him and perhaps he will actually able to create a back channel back to Wavell so that we can set up negotiations again. And Gandhi does that explicitly because Casey is an Australian and therefore something of a third party. And the two get along actually quite well together. It's quite an interesting set of discussions they have.
Right. That's interesting to know. Thank you so much for that anecdote today. And we hope to talk to you about other subjects, Kama.
I hope so. Thank you very much,
Kamala. Thank you and namaste.
Namaste.
sbs.com.au/hindi पर जाए और ऐसे अंश का आपकी भाषा में आनंद उठाए.